I want to make sure I point out that beautiful lady that just sang that beautiful song, that's my wife. Hey. Folks, God answers prayer. There ain't no doubt about it. And just an example a while ago, I don't know exactly how I need to be praying for people until Keith scarred me telling me about the idol of safety the other day. I used to pray, oh, keep so-and-so safe, because, you know, I was talking to Andrew about this. I said, Andrew, I'm ashamed to say I spend more time asking God to keep you safe than I do asking Him to use you. Convicting. I don't know how I need to be praying for Amber. I don't know what to ask God for. But I just reach out to Him. I had no idea martial law was coming in a country where she's a-going. But He took care of it, didn't He?
That's right, amen.
God answers our prayer. He don't play. This is not a game with Him. Yes, ma'am.
I want to praise Him because the word of God said, you remember Isaiah 53 verse 5, He was wounded for our troubles, He was bruised for our iniquity. By His stripes, my pieces often His chastisement. By His stripes, I am healed. I'm 70 years old, and He healed me instant every time. Because I speak the word. See, this word is my daily bread. This word is
amen.
My soul. So anybody you say, you pray word of God, I have a living testimony. And so every time I say anything, we are living violence every day, you know, every Jones, you know. So I pray over. You will say, Lord, by your strength, I'm healed. He looking at the cross, so He thinking about us. You know, we got to be hard, we're going to be sick. That's why He said, by His strength, I am healed. Yes. You got to keep speak until you receive.
Amen.
And sometimes, one time, I instant heal. I have so much experience, power of God. And He's a healer. So you pray all of God. And brother, sister, I've been living testimony. Amen. I thank you. Let me say it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Folks, God is real. He's still on the throne. He's on the move. He's getting it done. He is. We need to praise Him. I was sitting down there earlier this morning before church started, and not to bring up a silly, silly thing, but think about how good it's been going for us in this part of our state. Ronnie, your team took out the number 18 team. Mine took out the number 12. You start over on my end of thing, Pickens High School, state champion in band. Easley High School, eighth in the state with a superior rating. Amen. Move over to Powdersville where we got a couple of teachers. We got a first-time conference champion in football with a six-year-old school and a third state title in band. Why has God blessed this little group of people so much? Maybe we are still the buckle of the Bible Belt. Maybe we are trying to reach people, trying to do what He wants. But folks, we got it good. I mean, again, football and band and all that, you know, it might not be the most important thing in the world, but it's something that we care about and something that we're interested in. God's interested in what we're interested in. He wants us to have life, have it more abundantly. We ain't good, folks. We really need to be praising him, don't we?
Amen.
We really do. Yes, sir, Wayne.
I got to praise the Lord for something that happened to me this Friday. Okay? 45 years ago, I grew a plant. 30 years ago, I bonsai. Now, I have no children, no cats or dogs. This is my baby. And 22nd of September, this man stole this plant off my front porch. It's been sitting there for 8 years in one spot. All my neighbors admired it, and it was gone, okay? And Friday, I'm told by a neighbor that her daughter and someone that saw this plant, they went to see it. And when they got back, she brought me over to see it. And I called the police. And the man that stole the plant took off before the police got there. But the plant was sitting in his front yard, shedding, because it hadn't been watered since I watered it. And I got it back.
Amen.
I never thought I'd see it again, okay? This is just like your favorite dog or your baby, you know? I don't have children. This is what I do. I raise plants. I don't sell them. I give them away. And I bonsai this one plant. And I just praise God, man. Yes. I'm on top of the world.
God's people are important to God. If you would, take your Bible and begin to look for Matthew chapter 26, and we'll start in verse 26. This morning, we're going to express our worship of God by observing the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper has kind of fascinated me for most of my adult life, and it's for probably a kind of unusual reason. I shared a little bit of this with my Sunday school class, I believe it was last week. By the time I was 12 years old, I was saved, baptized, member of the church. For 10 years, as a church member, I had never participated in the Lord's Supper. Now, rare was I out of church on Sunday morning. Sunday night, maybe not so much. And I suppose the fact that the church where I grew up always observed the Lord's Supper in an evening service, be it Sunday night or sometimes Wednesday night. The church where I went, you went to RAs until you were about 30, so you weren't in the worship service. So 10 years as a baptized church member had never taken the Lord's Supper. I'm a grown man, out of college, at a church that I'm not even a member of, although I was later, the first time I took the Lord's Supper. At a little church in 6 Mile, South Carolina, pastored by a man named Boyce Whitman, who I believe celebrated his 57th or 58th year as pastor this year. Praise the Lord for that. That doesn't happen a lot, does it? But I wasn't really sure what it was all about. Didn't know what was going on. Brother Gary, I grew up in a very biblically sound church, and they taught me that it ain't about religious ritual with Jesus. It's about a relationship. It's about obedience. And we don't do nothing just for the sake of doing it. I mean, we're not going to sit there, and I won't say that because that indicts a particular group of people, but we're not just going to do some kind of busy work and think that's pleasing God. God wants to know us, and He wants to grow us, and He wants to enjoy us and fellowship with us. So here I am, a grown man, with this Lord's Supper thing going on. I mean, you know, they read the little verses around doing it, and I kind of got an idea. But I want to be honest, that whole time with the Passover and stuff, you know, I wasn't getting it. So here I am, I've taken the Lord's Supper, less than 10 times probably, and now I'm a deacon. Passing out the elements. It's a little unsettling, but there was something about it that drew me. The ordinances of the church were always a big deal to me. The first time I was a deacon, I had the blessing of being a deacon officer all 3 years. And at that particular church, that gave you the privilege of putting people on ministry teams. So I put me on both the ordinances because I enjoyed those. But I kind of had to make a little bit of an effort to learn what it was all about. There are several things that the pastor and I have in common besides just our shape, okay? And one is this. It offends me when someone just tacks the Lord's Supper on to the end of a service. To me, that is a horrible injustice to the Lord's Supper. The service needs to be around that experience, or I'm afraid we're going to miss it. And usually I'm a little more preachy. Today I'm going to be a little teachy, and I hope it's not academic. But I don't want anybody to be like me and be a grown man and not really get what this is all about. Because once you begin to see what's going on, why it's going on, it's really a beautiful act of worship that I think we really need to get our appreciation for it back, because a lot of it, I think, is lost on the, I have a hard time saying this, 21st century church, because I was born in the previous century. But as Bible-believing Southern Baptists, we believe that the Lord instituted exactly two ordinances, and that is immersion, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. Now, the ordinance of baptism, true baptism, is only experienced by a believer one time. If you get baptized before you're saved, all you got was wet. And if you get baptized multiple times after you're saved, you're not really accomplishing anything. It's an act of obedience that we're asked to do a single time, but we're asked to do it after our conversion experience. But now the Lord's Supper is a little bit different. It's to be observed repeatedly throughout the Christian life. It's a sign of continuing fellowship with God when we continue to do this. And I think the Bible is intentionally vague. It says as often as you do this. It doesn't say it's got to be every fifth Sunday or every fourth Sunday or four times a year. It doesn't say that. It leaves it up to us. And then we, between our conscience and the Holy Spirit, try to figure out how often it should be done. So I'd like to read God's Word now, Matthew 26, 26 through 29. So I'm going to ask if you're able, if you would stand in honor of the reading of God's inerrant, infallible, inspired, authoritative Word. Any questions where I stand on God's Word? Think not. God's Word says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on, until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful ordinance that you've given us, dear Lord, to help us to understand your sacrifice, dear Lord, to help us understand the need for fellowship with you, Father. We thank you that you had it recorded in several different places, dear Lord. And thank you for laying it upon our heart to observe it today, that we might come into your presence and worship and experience you. Pray you add your blessing to the reading of your word. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, when we observe the Lord's Supper, we should keep in mind that first and foremost, this is a form of worship, not unlike giving our offerings should be, a form of worship. We need to understand that true worship can only occur in the presence of God. Keep that in mind. If it's not in the presence of God, it's not true worship. We understand that the Lord's Supper is related to the Passover meal. It was during Jesus' observance of the Passover meal that the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper. But we should be aware that there are several Old Testament precedents for eating and drinking in the presence of the Lord. If you look in Exodus chapter 24, if you look at the beginning of verse 9, the end of verse 11, you'll find this. Then Moses went up with Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. In the end of verse 11, and they beheld God, and they ate and drank. Again, in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 23, the beginning of the verse says, and you shall eat before the Lord your God. Again in Deuteronomy, three verses later, in verse 26 of chapter 14. You shall eat there before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice. Eating in the presence of the Lord actually has its origins well before any of those verses I just read. If you think about it, this began in the Garden of Eden, didn't it? Think about it. God put Adam and Eve in the garden. He gave them to eat from the abundance of everything in the garden except one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Keep in mind, in the Garden of Eden, there was no sin in this situation yet, was there, when He first put them there? God created them for what purpose, Brother Gary? He created them to have fellowship with Him and to glorify Him. So in a sense, before the fall of man, every meal that Adam and Eve ate was a feast in the presence of the Lord. There was no sin to separate them from God. Now, when this fellowship in the presence of God, when it was later broken by sin, God still allowed some meals to be eaten in His presence. We see some of this in the sacrificial system that He set up, where God outlines things in the books of the law. And even in Hebrews chapter 10, if we look at verses 1 and 4, the Bible says, for the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. Then in verse 4, for it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. So we've had this restoration of fellowship with the sacrificial system, but it was only a partial restoration of the kind of fellowship that was enjoyed in the garden before the fall of man. These meals that they celebrated around these sacrifices and things, they pointed to a sacrifice that was yet to come. They were also a constant reminder of their sin that they had in their life. Now, the Lord's Supper that we now observe is far better than what these guys had in the Old Testament with their sacrificial system. Because rather than it simply being a reminder of their sin, what we have is a reminder of our forgiveness, isn't it? Because of that sin, it's a reminder of a debt that's paid. It's a debt that's no longer owed. Sometimes we have a hard time living that way, though, don't we? We think it's a debt we still owe, but Christ paid it all. But however, the Lord's Supper does look forward. It doesn't look forward to our continuing sin, but it looks forward to a future event. And this future event is the fellowship like they had in the Garden of Eden. It's going to be restored, isn't it? That's going to come back to us. The joy that they experienced and that we're going to experience in this future event will be a joy actually greater than anything that Adam and Eve enjoyed in the garden. Our joy is greater because we'll be eating in the presence of the Lord we'll be forgiven sinners. And that's not what they experienced. We're confirmed in righteousness now when we have this future event and eat with Him. And when this future event comes, this is a really cool part. We will never be able to sin again. We will be liberated or saved from the very presence of sin in our life. This is hinted to in Matthew 26, verse 29. He said, "But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." We're told specifically about this event also in Revelation 19:9. The Bible says, "Then he said to me, 'Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb.'" I think somebody's been teaching on that sort of thing recently, hasn't he? In our evening services? If you haven't been coming to our evening services, you're just missing it. You get yourself here. But from Genesis to Revelation, God's aim has been to bring His people back into fellowship with Him. That's what it's about from end to end. One of the joys of this fellowship is the fact that we can eat and drink in the presence of the Lord. Now, me and the pastor, we probably enjoy eating and drinking a little more than some of you. You know, like Mr. Brown said the other day, you ain't lived, you've heard him eat. Think you heard him preach or something. Sorry, Mark. He'll hear the recording of this, won't he? But as we worship this morning, let's keep in mind a few things that we're symbolizing and that we're affirming when we take the Lord's Supper. We're symbolizing, we're affirming Christ's death, aren't we? The bread is broken to symbolize His broken body, beaten for us, those stripes by which we were healed. That's what it's symbolizing. The cup symbolizes the pouring out of His blood for us. It's symbolizing our participation in the benefits of Christ's death. As we each take the bread and take the cup, our actions symbolize that we share the benefits of what Christ accomplished for us on the cross. Spiritual nourishment is also symbolized here. This observance is designed to teach us about what Christ did and its significance, how it's a fulfillment of all the Old Testament and things like that. The bread teaches us of the broken body. That should remind us that there is punishment for sin. It doesn't go unpunished. The cup teaches that only by the blood of Jesus Christ can we gain access to the Father. Did you hear me? You can't be good enough. You can't be religious enough. Only by accepting the sacrifice of His blood can you ever hope to come into the presence of the Father. And finally, or maybe not finally, but the last one I'm going to mention, it's symbolizing, it's affirming the unity of believers. Now, we're a very diverse bunch of people, aren't we? We got Patriots and Mustangs and Hurricanes and Green Waves, and we got kitty cats, and we got chickens, and we got dogs, and various insects, and all these things that we side with. There's a diversity here, isn't there? But Christ is all we need to have unity, isn't it? And that symbolizes this unity of believers. By participating together, we give a clear sign of that unity that we have with one another. And we also symbolize that we all agree with the gospel message by taking this ordinance together. Before we proceed to take the Lord's Supper, the Bible says that we're supposed to examine ourselves. Maybe we find that we have some disunity. If there's some disunity among any of us here, this would be a good time to take care of it. I don't have anywhere to be until 5 o'clock tonight, okay? So if it takes a while for us to get through this, I am okay with that, and I hope you are too. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27 through 29, God's Word tells us, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." That's not saying you have to be sinless, okay? Because none of us are. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. I'm going to ask Miss Vicky if she would play a few verses of a hymn for us. And I'd like for each and every one of us to spend some time in quiet, silent prayer, examining our hearts and our lives, making sure there's no unconfessed sin, that there's no ruptured relationship that you know about, that there's nothing you need to take care of. The altar will be open. She's going to play a few verses. If people are moving, taking care of stuff, she will play and play and play. She likes to play anyway, don't you, Miss Vicky? She's in no hurry. So if you would, let's just take a few moments in silent prayer and examine ourselves.